You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
So the quiz question was, what is the name of the musical style to which a vocal which refers to vocal music with no instrumental accompaniment? And the example you just heard and just listening to in the background there is by a group called Saella. That's S-J-A-E-L-L-A. Now, Saella is a German group of six women, and they're currently touring Australia, performing at the Sydney Opera House this coming Sunday, that is the 13th of July. And how lucky am I to have Franziska Eberhardt from the group to join me now. Franziska, welcome to Monday Drive.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure. What is the correct answer to the quiz, Francesca? What is the name of the musical style which refers to vocal music with no instrumental accompaniment?
Well, I believe this would be a cappella music.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Congratulations. Congratulations to you. Now, as a bonus question for you, I wonder if you can identify the piece that we were just listening to.
Oh, yes. This is a very well-known one, actually, for chorists. It's Northern Lights by Ola Jalo, a Norwegian composer of our time.
And listen to a little bit of it in the background now. There's no musical instrument behind you there, none at all. And who's performing it?
This would be the German vocal group Siela, which I'm a member of.
There you go. For the benefit of my listeners, the origin of the term a cappella, it's an Italian word, and it literally means in the manner of the chapel, and it reflects early church music traditions where there were no instruments used. And these days, a cappella is used in many styles, from classical choral works and barbershop quartets to modern pop, jazz, gospel, and even hip-hop, and we'll talk about that with Franziska. Before we do, though, Franziska, let's talk just a little bit about you. You started your musical life in Leipzig, primarily in musical theatre, right?
Yeah, I started it in Leipzig musical family, and yeah.
And you did your master's degree in historical singing, but then you were a founding member of Saella, and you're a soprano. And the question therefore becomes, wasn't a jump to a cappella singing a major step for you, because you were probably used to having instruments behind you in musical theatre.
Well, I was quite young when I started singing with Ciela. We were all between 10 and 13 years old, and we have a 20th anniversary this year. So the idea of making music in a group without instruments just developed naturally, I would say. But I started playing the violin actually when I was quite young, when I was 6 years old. And so I had all of these different influences. But yeah, a couple of years later, there was the singing bit that stepped into the spotlight.
And do you still
so I had both.
Do you still play the violin now, today?
Yes, I do, but not as much as singing.
Do you do any violin playing in any of your concerts?
Sometimes, but not in a professional way.
Okay. The group's name, Ciela, and I think I prefer the way you pronounce it. How do you say it?
Ciela.
Ciela. It's derived from a Scandinavian word for soul. Why did you settle on that name? And how does it describe you as a group?
Ciela was actually not our first name. It would have been Chickpeas.
Chickpeas, that's right.
Yes.
You started off with the Chickpeas and you changed your name.
Yes, after 5 years, we changed our name, and we felt that the time had come for another name, and we asked some friends and audience members for help, and there was this one suggestion that would have been Shell or Huel, which is the Swedish or Danish word for soul, and we thought this is just a wonderful word and with a wonderful sound, but we wanted to change it just a tiny little bit so we wouldn't give ourselves randomly a Swedish word as a name. So we transformed it to Ciela, but the meaning stays. And I think singing is a thing that you just cannot do without incorporating your soul and your being. Mm. This is why we think this was very fitting.
And the group was started when you were around about 10, or when all the girls collectively were around about 10 to 13 years of age.
Yeah.
You don't think of soul too much when you're 10 to 13, and I guess that's why that's why you started off as Chickpeas, right?
Yes. We just grabbed a dictionary, basically, and looking through the pages.
So you said you were 50, you were five years into the Chickpeas when you decided to change your name. So that's still only when you were 15 or so.
Yeah, like 17. Yeah.
In 2012, when you were at high school, you gave concerts at venues including the Bach Festival at Leipzig. Did you ever do any work as a kid? Any school?
Say that again. Sorry, I didn't get that.
In 2012, you were still at high school and you gave concerts at major festivals. And my question is, did you actually ever do any schoolwork? Because you were part of the Chickpeas. You were playing Bach. When did you have time for any work?
Well, if you would ask my parents now, they would say no. She just didn't have time for school. But yeah, we actually did. I think when you're younger, you just also have more capacities to do a lot because your brain is still fresh and you're just taking all the influences that life brings. And I mean, we all made it through school, so somehow it worked out.
Right? It seems to have worked out. At that time, were you writing or arranging any of your own music? Because you do that now, don't you?
Yeah, but just the part of our repertoire that we developed on our own is very, very tiny, because when we started the group, there were already family members and friends writing for us, and ever since we have been working together with composers and arrangers, and that just properly studied the thing itself, and we didn't. So everything we do on our own is just a little lower in quality.
But we
try, we improvise a lot, and some of us try to write our own music, especially in the field of folk music, I would say, and Christmas songs and such. Yeah, things that are very easy to listen to.
You just mentioned that you use family and friends. You collaborate with family and friends. That's a bit extraordinary. I mean, do they have the skills that formal, or are they formal musicians, or do you collaborate with formal musicians other than your family and friends?
Oh, yes. We started with family and friends because we all have very musical backgrounds, I would say. So there were family members, or there still are family members, that come from church music or with an operatic background, or that are performers themselves. And so we were very lucky in that department. And then when we have been on stage for a couple of years, there were composers and arrangers reaching out to us because they thought our lineup to be very interesting for them, because back then there wasn't much repertoire for upper voices. And so it developed more into a wider range, I would say.
Right. There are six of you in the group, or sometimes seven, and you've just said how different your musical styles can be. So how do you navigate musical or creative differences between you? Who's the boss?
we are actually a group whose base is democracy. So we try to balance that. And I actually think finding new repertoire and new impulses, I mean, if everyone brings something into the group, it can take a while. To make decisions, but it's always new and always fresh and always something else, because we have this different background and interests when it comes to musical repertoire and genres. This is how our repertoire developed in very different directions.
Right.
And we always would prefer that.
Yeah, because you've noted on a couple of occasions just now that you are totally different. But the strange thing is the group uses contrasting tonal languages and even rarely spoken languages and sounds from nature to generate its sound. How do you even learn those different sounds and languages, let alone put them together in a harmony between the six of you when you're all different styles?
Well, the beginning, I think, is that we all we love to travel a lot, and we love to dig deeper into foreign traditions and cultures. This is where the inspiration comes from. And when we do music that hasn't a lot to do with our own tradition, we always try to find people to connect to people whose culture it is really, and who teach us something about the language, the pronunciation, phonetics, and also the like historical backgrounds you can learn about. And
Well, never invite me to be a member of the group, because my pronunciation on foreign languages is hopeless. In fact, I even struggle saying sailor. But anyway,
no worries. Many people do, and I mean, it's always a question of training.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, I'm talking to Franziska Eberhardt from the a cappella ensemble called Sayela. Franziska, tell us about the virtual reality opera From Dust. What is it?
This was a quite interesting collaboration we had during the past 2 years. A Dutch composer and producer, Michel van der Aa, reached out to us, and he was looking for a group with female voices or upper voices for his new virtual reality opera, and we were wondering what that is, exactly the same way you just did. Mm-hmm. And so the musical form of the whole thing is an opera in five acts. It's about 20 minutes long in total. And like the visual thing would be a virtual reality movie, I would say. Mm. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it myself.
What?
Yes. Some of us weren't able to look at it yet. But apparently you're stepping into a room as a single person that is 6 to 6 meters long and wide. And you're equipped with this virtual reality equipment, so the glasses and speakers and such. And you're able to move through this room experiencing this movie and our music. And there are actually, you can actually meet us in form of holograms, figures, because they took our faces and bodies and put us right into the movie.
And you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. You're on tour in Australia now.
Yes.
And I believe this is your first time in Australia, is it?
No, second time.
Oh,
we have been here for the first time 2 years ago.
Okay. But on this particular tour, you've been to Bundanoon and Ballina.
Yes.
And QPAC in Brisbane. And now it's time for the Opera House, the Sydney Opera House on the 13th. That's this Sunday coming. How does the prospect of performing in the Uetzen Room of such a major world-renowned opera house, how does that grab you?
I still cannot believe it, and I think I share this feeling with the other members of my group. Just yesterday we were saying, oh my God, it's only a week to Sydney Opera House. And it's such an amazing thing, because a couple of years ago we had this dreaming in a group, we call it, where we just collect visions and wishes for our future. And one was writing down a paid concert in Sydney Opera House. And when everything came together, we remembered this very moment, and it's just the most amazing thing.
Right.
And I think I will start to believe it when I'm there.
Yes, indeed. Well, one of the things I believe you're going to be doing there is called Cockatoo Circus, and that's a work by Alice Chance.
Is
that right? Now, that's all about vibrant and chaotic Australian native cockatoos, and they're raucous and they're loud and they're highly social and so on and so forth. That must be something new for you.
Very much so, yes.
How have you tried to learn it? What has the rehearsal been like in order for you to come to grips with that Australian phenomenon of that crazy cockatoo circus?
Well, there was a lot of YouTube research going on, really. Because, the noises of the cockatoo and also other birds from Australia are just very new to us.
Yes, that's right.
And we really had to dig deep and to practice a lot this not most talented bird singer, I would say. I think we're managing it quite well now, I think.
And so do you?
So people liked it so far.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going to sound like cockatoos in the Opera House.
Yes, I think so.
That's going to be good. You co-arranged the traditional Irish piece, Our Wedding, for this particular concert, haven't you?
Yes, Our Wedding Day, our version is called, yes.
Yeah, so tell us about that, because the story behind it is that of two lovers who are about to get married, one of them mysteriously disappears and returns as a ghost.
Yes.
How do you interpret that as a song?
I actually was quite hooked by the music itself, by a certain arrangement by Michael McLynn, who is conducting, directing the Irish choir Anuna. Mm-hmm. And the story is very deep, is very beautiful. You can interpret it in many ways, and there are also very different versions when it comes to the lyrics. Mm-hmm. And what our version doesn't tell is the thing you just said, the lover meets his beloved on a fair, and they promise each other that they will get married soon, and then she vanishes.
That's
and
right.
One doesn't really know why, but yeah, one can assume that she has had passed away. And I mean, in many older stories, that was just the case, you know, that lovers couldn't be together. And I think that that he meets her again in his dreams, where she promises him that they will get married soon, is just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It just occurs to me that the story that you've just outlined, and the fact that you'll be interpreting it and singing it as a six-piece a cappella,
yeah.
When you girls joined at such a tender age of around about 10 or that or so, you've evolved hugely from what you used to do back then to the interpretation type of thing that you're now about to do. That must have been a very, very major step from simply singing to then interpreting stories.
When you look back, it seems like a very big step, but maybe it were like lots and lots of tiny little baby steps. And we, for the last couple of years, we have been trying to get past the concert program that contains a potpourri of very nice songs that just doesn't belong together and link together. And we try to create more and more concept programs. Does that make sense? So we think of certain ideas, a certain context, or a thing with a meaning to us that we want to pass on to the audience, and then we collect the repertoire. And this has become very important for us, as well as interdisciplinary work on stage. Like, we try to incorporate dance and movement, also like instruments, like percussion instruments, and work together with other artists. So there are many ideas in our heads.
I'm sure there are. There are two concerts. One is at 2 p.m. This is in Sydney at the Opera House. There's two concerts. One is at 2 p.m. and the other one is 6 p.m. And that's this Sunday, the 13th of July. And that's in the Utzon Room in the Sydney Opera House. Tickets are available at the Sydney Opera House website, and that is sydneyoperahouse.com. And just search for Saella, that's Sjaella, and aim there for your tickets. Just very briefly, while we've got you, Franziska, tell us what we can expect, because your repertoire is huge, isn't it, ranging from classical through jazz and so on. What can we expect on Sunday?
That's right. Yeah, you can expect a mixture of early music, like we're doing Baroque and Renaissance music that is always arranged for our lineup, and also folk songs from Europe, We move a lot on stage, and we will find out in the Utzon room what is possible there and how big the stage actually is. But no matter what size and shape it has, we always try to incorporate that, so the audience can expect a very colorful program.
Okay,
that hopefully opens hearts and minds.
Yes, indeed. Well, Franziska, welcome to Australia to you and the rest of the girls in the group. And
thank you.
Have a great time here. And thank you for joining us here on Monday Drive.
Thanks again for having me.
It's a pleasure. I'm going to end the little segment with some works from the girls themselves. This is the girl from Ipanema, and this just shows you the type of variety that you can expect to hear from Saella. I played you some classical piece at the beginning, and this now is also the same girls, the girl from Ipanema, and I just called to say I love you. It'll be a great concert, and if you can, I would encourage you to get along to it.
So gently then, when she passes each one, she passes ghosts. Ooh, Betty watched her so sadly.
Been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.